What does it mean to choose life? Can you really make the decision of which path to take in life? Join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Billy Rash on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as they continue this week's teaching.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we're going to believe God today. We're going to release our faith. We're going to pray. We're going to have us a good time and give the Lord a place to work and just move by His power. Amen. You agree with that? Father, we thank You for it. We seek Your face, sir. We receive from heaven words that move heaven on the earth. And we open our hearts and minds for revelation of Your Word and the very things that need to be heard and said to cause the most powerful awakening unto God that's ever been on this planet. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me again today in welcoming Billy Rash to this broadcast? Billy, God bless you, sir. This man pastors one of the great churches in this country, the Curran Christian Center in Bakersfield. How long you been pastoring there now?
Over 26 years.
26? You ain't half that old.
I must have started when I was nine.
My goodness, Billy. God bless you, sir. When I think about it, I know good and well, when I stop and think about it a second, that's been a while. So I'm really blessed to have you here. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I was listening for the Lord to say this. And then You sent me the manuscript of your new book. I read that, and the Lord used it to teach me something that I'd really been involved in and aware of ever since I've been in the ministry. And that's religious tradition and how it is so expensive. Man, it'll cost you your life because it is something that happens in your life just wham, and then your feet where your head used to be and you're just knocked completely off balance by this thing. And you start praying a bunch of traditional prayers, you're in real trouble because tradition has no power in it. And like we talked about yesterday, and particularly right there at the close of yesterday's broadcast, the Word itself has the power in itself to cause itself to come to pass. Now, you remember over there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1, said, "Holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling," that's the calling of Jesus, "consider the apostle," that means the one that God sent, "to be high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." So Jesus Christ, referring to His anointing, His calling, His anointing, He is called to be and sent to be the high priest of our confession. And the word translated confession there means to say exactly the same thing as. So He's high priest when we say exactly what He has already said, not something we turned it into.
Right.
Man, that got a hold of me. It just got me, just like somebody just shook me good that I'm out here making up words to say when all the time that's what this is about. It really got to me, man. It just rattled me pretty strong.
Well, you started it. And so you get the credit, not blame, because you did a sermon about the two men in Jeremiah on a New Year's Eve message a couple of years ago here at Eagle Mountain Church. And we didn't do a service at our church. I told them to log on and watch your service.
I didn't know you did that.
Yes. And you started this book and the teaching in the sense that you talked about Deuteronomy 30, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." And then he says, choose life. Now, why would God have to tell us what to choose? Anybody with any sense would choose life and blessing. But God had to tell us what to choose, which meant people can and would choose wrong. So he tells us to choose. And then you went into Jeremiah 17 about the two men, about the fifth verse, that they both were people of God. They both were with God, but one of them turned to tradition, to flesh, the root of what we're talking about in Matthew 15 here about making the Word of God a none effect. He turned to the arm of the flesh, and it said when he did that, he became blinded, and he didn't even see the good of God when it came by.
All he could see was that drought around him. He got so locked up in that he couldn't see anything. Let's go over and look at that, dude.
But in Jeremiah 17.
17. I keep that scripture marked because the scriptures like this, you need to go back and refer to them on a regular basis because these are the things that cause trouble. I have never had God to correct me in a way that took a huge, drastic change. It was always small corrections. But if you don't deal with those smaller things, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, Billy, you fly airplanes, you're a pilot. One of the first things you remember that anybody taught us when we were learning how to fly, that if you're on course and you get off just a little bit, you don't just sit there, you get back on. Because the longer you sit there, the wider the mistake becomes. You get out there finally to where you're going to have to figure out how to get from here to there because you ain't even got gas enough to get back over here and then finish your trip just because you didn't correct it. The problem with tradition, that, like Jesus said, your traditions cause the Word of God to be of no effect. You can't be in this earth without the Word having effect in your life. It'll get you killed.
Yeah.
But the thing that happens, you get off course and you don't know it because tradition is so sneaky, man. I mean, you just don't realize you're quoting something all the time instead of going back and put your eyes on it. You go back and put your eyes on it and put the words in your mouth and in your ear and in your heart. You just quote that a few days and see if you don't change it a little and change it a little. And you don't even realize you did it.
That's the whole self-deception, what I'm calling the way of Cain, is you redefine. You get off course. You don't immediately get way out here. People aren't like this man in Jeremiah overnight. It's a progression, and it starts. And it's like you and Jeremy Pearson was teaching on John 10:10. It's a progression, and it builds into abundant life, but it also builds the other direction because out of that deception, you start speaking or justifying or making excuses, and they start believing it. You don't just one day wake up and say, you know, I think I'll choose the cursings today.
You never would do that.
Right. So you're self-deceived or you're deceived, and it takes a progression. It takes time to get off course. That's why in Jeremiah 17 here, it says, cursed is a man. So it's obvious this man chose the curse.
And he had Deuteronomy 30:19. Because this is in Jeremiah. Deuteronomy is way back here, man. It's back here in the Torah. And look at this guy. It says, cursed be the man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. People do that with governments. They look to the government to supply this or supply that. Or look to somebody else, look to the parents, look to your job, look to all these other things. You get in the habit of that. He shall be like the heath, that's a little stump, stunted shrub, in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. So, in that fifth verse, it said, his heart departed from the Lord. He quit looking at Deuteronomy 30:19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. Or in other words, I want you blessed.
And the fact there's a choice there, does that actually means it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't just come on you and I. You and Gloria, these 45 years have been blessed. But it wasn't just because you're Kenneth and Gloria. You're blessed because you chose life. You chose the Word. He had the chance. You can't depart from something unless you're there. So he was with the Lord like the second man
here.
Yeah,
he was.
You can't depart unless you're there. So he was there. He departed by choosing wrong. Wrong thinking. And I don't believe he got there just like we said instantly one morning. It's a way of conduct.
This is not referring to a man that rebelled against God.
Right.
This is a man that probably thought he was okay, and he's probably praying all the stuff he's supposed to pray, and he's doing all the stuff the rabbis told him to do, and he's doing all these things, and he can't figure out how come he's out here in the desert starving to death in a drought. he don't know why he's there.
But his talk, his words, combined with tradition, because you talk out of your tradition, which is, as you just opened this up today, it's your way of thinking. That's when you said this on that New Year's Eve service that triggered me. So this man got off, departed from the blessing, the word, the commandment, the promise, by a decision. He made that decision by changing the way he thought. And so I started searching it from that, and that's how I came up with the way of Cain. Because in Jude 11, it says, some have gone in the greed of Balaam. They've gone in the rebellion of Korah. But then it says, and some have gone in the way of Cain. Well, that word way in the Greek means a path, a journey, a highway. But it also means this, a course of conduct determined by a way of thinking in the Greek. So there it was. Cain, this man, got off track by the spiritual condition based on wrong thinking. And out of that, he started speaking tradition. He started saying tradition, and that got him over into choke the word, got him over into the curse instead of the blessing. That's why the non-compromising stand that you have to have on the Word of God. If it says it here, we don't need to redefine it. We don't need to say, well, God understands. He knows. Or redefine what it says is what he wanted it to say.
I asked a man one time back when I was still a student at Oral Roberts University. And this was a man that I had high regard for. And of course, he's been in heaven now for a number of years. I still have high regard for him, but I respected his knowledge about seed time and harvest. And he was part of Brother Robert's ministry, and had been for a number of years. And I had the privilege of having lunch with him one day. Well, I mean, I was a big-eyed man. I was so high on sowing and reaping, I just, whoa, man, I didn't want to talk to anybody about anything else because I found out I was a seed of Abraham, and I found out sowing and reaping is the way Abraham got what he got. And I ran in there and told Gloria, I shoved the Bible up there in her face. I said, look at this. We're the seed of Abraham. We have the blessing of Abraham. We're rich now. This ain't nothing but a matter of time. I was so mad. I was just, you know, I still am. And so, I was so hungry, I'm questioning everybody. I said, sir, what would happen if a man, now back in those days, $100 a week was a big salary. You could save money on $100 a week back then. Because that's like close to, oh man, that's more than $1,000 a week now. Probably closer to $2,000 a week. And I said, what if a guy had a good job? He's making $400 a month. And what if he just sowed the whole thing into the kingdom of God? What I had in my mind, if the guy used his income as his seed, looking at a 100-fold return, my goodness, are you kidding me, man? I mean, I could just see it just exploding when you give it all. Then what the result of that's going to be. I was so excited. Now, here was his answer. It shocked me at the time, but I look back on it, and I can understand why he was like this, because of the religious tradition of the time. You got to remember, this is 1967. He said, "Well, Kenneth, I don't think the Lord would require that." I wasn't talking about what the Lord required. I'm talking about what's available to me as a believer. It had never entered his mind. The tradition was what was required to do. Well, I don't think you'd have to do it. I don't believe the Lord would require that of you. In other words, he ain't gonna do it if the Lord didn't require it of him. I wasn't looking for something God required of me. I'm looking for an opportunity here.
But most people don't see what you saw in that, what you've taught us.
That's really true.
His tradition. His tradition had blinded him. And good man. That's why I did this and wrote that book that I sent to you, is good people. Good people redefining the Word of God. Graham, you used to make a statement and say it, and I've repeated it over and over again. I don't even give you credit for it anymore. Grandma taught it. We bought it. And he was repeating what somebody taught him. He bought it and would almost tell you that that's in the Word. That's what the Word says. But it doesn't
but
say
it really
that.
Didn't.
It didn't say that. And that's where going back to redefining the Word, that's where we have to, but it's like you said, seed time and harvest. And you hit on something right there. What blinds most people is they don't understand before they got blinded, somewhere they had to alter their thinking about first fruits, alter their thinking about seed. See, you've taught it's a lifestyle for you and Gloria and those of us that have been honored and privileged to sit under the teaching. It's a lifestyle of seed time and harvest, not what's required, but the opportunity to plant, to sow in family, to give.
Yeah, this is the way we live. Exactly. It's our source.
Right.
The Word is our source of everything. So when you come about and you begin to see the just shall live by faith, well, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and faith worketh by love. Well, that right there, if you spent time feeding on those scriptures, and that begins to produce, but what happens, what you were talking about, you're doing that, and you begin to operate on what you remember the Word says, instead of what it actually said. In fact, you remember what strawberries taste like?
I do, yes.
We could sit here and talk about strawberries. We could sit here and think about strawberries. We could remember how they taste and starve to death sitting at this table, finally just die and fall out on the floor with a whole bowl of fruit sitting there. And remembering it ain't gonna do a thing in the world about nourishing your body. Well, remembering the Word ain't going to do a thing in the world about nourishing your spirit. You're going to have to put your eyes on it, put it in your mouth, put it in your ears, feed it into your spirit with the decision to act on it when you were reading it in the first place.
And if you don't, as we just read right here, good can come by.
You won't even see it.
And we won't even see it.
Oh, man, that's just...
And if you think about that, you and Jeremy Pearson's covered it on The Abundant Life out of John 10:10. The thief comes. Now, most people quote that. The thief cometh but for to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah,
but that's not what he says.
He's the one that corrected me for it.
It says the thief cometh but for to
steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah.
But I am come that you'd have life and more abundant. You know, all the theologians will agree that I have come that you'd have life and have it in abundance to the overflow and enjoyment. They agree that that's a progression. Starts with life and then it's a life abundantly. But then they forget that the first part is a progression also. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't think Jesus could have described tradition any better than that.
Oh, that is
he
exactly
comes
what
to
it is.
Steal the word. And if he can steal the word, he doesn't have to take it out of your memory. He just has to make it choked to where it's unfruitful. So he steals, thereby kill. Now that word kill there doesn't mean to murder. It's actually the Greek word that W. Vines brings up means to offer a first fruit to a god. Or in our case, it would be our God. But it's the actual Greek word for steal. So he comes, steals the word, therefore hurting and affecting your relationship, which opens the door. And then he destroys the blessing, and then there's the curse.
If he can get his hands on that blessing, like he did Adam to begin with, if he can stop the blessing of Abraham in your or my life, he's disconnected us from our supply. He's disconnected us to a point where we begin to look around for some other way of getting our needs met. If he can get you into that, he will kill you.
But there's the problem. How did Adam, Abraham didn't, but how did Adam fall for that? I mean, he's in the garden. There's the fruit. How did he fall? Something caused him to fall. And they call it fall. Something caused him to choose wrong. Mm-hmm. He made a wrong choice. Now, Eve was deceived. Adam chose wrong. But his wrong choice comes out of John 10:10. He stole from God.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And when he steals from God,
that wasn't his tree.
It
hadn't been his eating the fruit of.
But he was supposed to, but people read in there, I know our time's short today, he was supposed to harvest it. There's nowhere that God said don't touch it.
No.
He was supposed to harvest that tree because he was placed in the garden to tend it, till it, keep it, cultivate it, harvest it.
And
he was to harvest that tree, present it back to God.
Bring it to God.
But
so
he ate it.
It was his tithe.
So he ate it. His tithe and offering, which is Malachi 3, the same thing.
So the first sin was not just being disobedient. That's what opened the door to the sin. The first sin was theft.
He stole from
Satan
God.
Satan comes to steal,
kill.
And destroy.
And then the curse came. And it's not, that's why in Malachi 3, it describes the sin of Adam.
Yeah.
And in Malachi 3, God said, well, will you rob me? And he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. So that means if he's that way in Malachi, he's that way in Genesis.
He's that way then, he's that way now, and he always will be. We're out of time. But you just labeled where we're going to open up tomorrow. Amen. Don't forget that.
Got it.
Brother Billy and I'll be back in just a moment.
Attitude, mindset, action, success. It all takes a decision to learn God's plan, His way of thinking, and make the commitment to change your life. Set yourself up for victory with the Think Different, Live Different package. The Way of Cain by Dr. Billy Rash shines light on the dark path of self-deception and presents biblical solutions that will set you free to live a successful life. Break through your old way of thinking and learn to identify God's ways. Also included in this package is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Building Relationships That Last, the Daily Devotions, Scripture Cards, Scriptures on CD, Worship Music, and a teaching DVD are all designed to help guide you step by step into a blessed life. Don't let the blessing pass you by. Know God's ways for your attitudes, actions, and decisions. Choose to think, act, and live differently today. Order the Think Different, Live Different package today at a special 35% savings. For just $22, you'll receive the new book by Billy Rash, The Way of Cain, and the Lifeline Kit from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Building Relationships That Last. For additional product discounts and 48-hour processing, order online. Get out of the curse and into the way of the blessing. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to our website.
This is Brother Rash's new book, The Way of Cain, Breaking the Cycle of Self-Deception. Oh, Billy, this is just dynamite. In Jude, in the book of Jude, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Just simply saying, they got off into that Babylonian system of trying to meet their own needs without God, and now they're chasing around after this other stuff. And that's the way of Cain. I'm telling you what, you need to get your hands on this right now in the name of Jesus. Now, when you do, it's going to come along as a package, your 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. These 10-day action plans, these things are tremendous. What'd you tell me a minute ago?
We use them for discipleship training at the church. They're fabulous. They are excellent. You can set classes down, go through these.
Wow.
And then...
And so you just take a 10-day class and period?
Yeah, and stretch it out for like 10 weeks.
Okay, I understand. But the thing of it is, it's what it says, that it's an action plan. Now, that is the kind of thing that will keep your eyes on the Word and not on some kind of tradition, because all this is one scripture right after another, and how to stand on it and how to walk in it. Praise God. Somebody here at KCM to pray for you 24 hours a day. They're here on this property, and they are trained and very passionate prayer ministers. We get over 1 million calls a year, Billy.
That's it.
And miracles abound. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Kenneth Copeland, Billy Rash, reminding you that Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 8th through the 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, Anaheim, California, with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Dates to be announced. For more information, go to kcm.org. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same, God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read Word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, words you can build your life upon.